Well, good morning. It's good to have you here, and welcome to you all. About those of you online, here in person, whatever. It's great to have you, and bless you. It's really good. On what is another lovely morning, isn't it? Sunshine, wonderful. Let's get used to it. Spring is here. And did you notice the special mention, for those of you at home particularly, about those of you who are still in your PJs? Did you see that? It said it's time to relax, make yourself at home. Now, I think that's a bit mean, quite honest, because I think that is something, that's a message for all of us. Make ourselves at home. And of course, it's at home because we are together as God's family, as church family. And that's what makes home when we're talking about gathering together. And of course, more importantly, God is here too. And that is our attraction. That's what it's all here. We are his children, and therefore we can be with Heavenly Dad. That is home from my point of view. So also, as it said in the video, it's time to worship him. So let's do that as we pray and commit our time to the Lord, shall we? So, Father, wherever we are, however we feel this morning, we do come. And we come home to you. We come into that place which is our relationship with you. And so, Lord, as we spend this time, as we sing, or certainly worship together, perhaps not sing, but, Lord, thank you that you are there with us. As we consider your word, you're there with us. As we just come, you are here by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we welcome you and we welcome each other and we say, Lord, speak to us, stir our hearts and change us, we pray. Because we ask it, Lord, in your name and for your glory and your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen. Good, good, good. Well, just some things to tell you about or remind you about. A few more than normal, I'm sorry. It's gone up this week for a few things. And firstly, it's next Sunday, 25th, we're opening up the church to everyone who wants to come into the church building. Obviously, church is open because you're even at home doing this. But for a trial period, certainly anyway, so we can monitor the numbers, we're opening it wide. And that means you don't need an invitation to come. And also, you don't need to book in either. We're just opening it wide. So if you could spread that news, that would be really good. And if you've been watching online, why not come in person now? Yes, it does mean you've got to get up, have a shower and, you know, take your PJs off. Well, anyway, that's up to you. But there'll still be restrictions, of course. We're not able to sing, but you can hum into your masks. There's still going to be social distancing, but we can chat outside. But despite these things, it's good to be together. So let me encourage you, as from next week, to take advantage of that. Also next week, while we're on the Sunday, in the afternoon, at about 5 o'clock, well, not about, at 5 o'clock, we have got the return of 30 Minute Church. So I just want to encourage you to that. That will be here too. And that's open to everyone as well, of course. Now, for those of you who are church members or regular members of the congregation here, I want to remind you about the AGM and the church meeting this Tuesday, the 20th, at 7:30. Please try to make every effort to be here. There are some important things happening, and we want you to be part of that. But same restrictions apply. You have to come with your mask, and we're going to keep your distance, I'm afraid. It's prayer time on Wednesday this week at 7 o'clock, and that's going to be via Zoom. So guess what? No restrictions. No restrictions at all. You don't have to wear a mask. You can just pray, and yay, no socially distant. You can get as close to God as you like. Yeah, okay. Well, I thought that was a cracking opportunity. The code will be sent out this week, you can connect with that. And it's also coffee time, another one without restrictions. You see, it's just lifting, this lockdown thing. But that is by Zoom, I have to say, after the service. But please note, there's a new time. It's 11:45. That's to allow the folk who are coming here to the building to be a chance to get home and get themselves a coffee and connect. Otherwise, it's been a bit tight at 11:30. So it's 11:45. Please register that. And that also gives us the opportunity for prayer as well, if you want so. And lastly, as part of our worship, let's not forget our giving to God as well. So in response to a number of requests, for those of you who are here, there are some offering buckets as you leave today. We can't take up the offering as we used to, but you can give via the buckets. And if you want to know how to give, and that's those of you at home too, then please contact us, leave a note in the comments, and or drop us an email, and we can get in touch. And guess what? There's no restrictions on that either. Fantastic. So lockdown is lifted on the purse strings. That's the word I'm looking for. Let's give to the Lord in that. So we're here to worship, and as we've said, so I'm going to hand over to Adam and the team to lead us. Bless you. Thanks.
Sometimes we can feel fettered by our masks, can't we? Restricted by our masks. Looking at all you guys in the congregation this morning, it's a strange thing, really, to see you all kind of clammed up round your face. But although we're fettered by our masks, we're unfettered by within our hearts. So Psalm Fest and David was one who was unfettered in his worship to our God. So I'd encourage you, and those of you at home that can sing, you can mumble away in your mask. We don't want too many aerosols in and around the building, but mumble in your masks, but more so in your heart. Just lift your heart, become unfettered in your worship to our God. Let's sing Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Let's sing, bless the Lord,
bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy.
He has done.
He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy. He has done great things. will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. My feast on his purity abides, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you.
Good.
All the time.
God is good. I'm going to hand over to George now, who's going to, I think Richard's there as well, somewhere along the line, who's got a message for our young people. And we're all a bit young, aren't we? Yes, we're all saying yes.
Richard?
Yeah?
Can you help me read my Psalms now?
Right. George, I'm really busy. I'm just trying to write an email at the minute. Is it okay if I get back to you in a bit?
Well, I'm just trying to do what Mark said.
If it's really important, but I've just got a load of stuff I need to get on with at the minute, okay? I'll catch up with you in a bit, okay, George?
Okay. It can wait, I guess. We'll do it later. Oh, hey, Richard.
Oh, hey, George.
Have you finished your emails?
Yeah, I've finished my emails now.
Can you help me with Psalms?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got all of this gear to sort for Remix when we reopen. I've got guitars to restring.
Yeah, that's
I've
a
got
lot.
Drums to fix and cables to sort through.
How long?
I'm going to be busy for the next couple of hours, I'm afraid.
Can you help me later?
Yeah. Grab me a bit later, okay? And we'll
bye.
Okay. Come on. Gotcha! Ha ha! No. Oh.
Hey, Rich!
Oh, hey, George.
Are you done now?
No, it's been such a long day. I've just had so much to do.
Oh,
and I just want a bit of time to unwind. Oh, I know I said that, but I'm just... Look, I just want a bit of space and a bit of time and... I just want to finish this level.
You said you would. Oh,
don't be like that. George. I've not been a very good friend to George today, have I? He wants me to help him read some psalms. He's not a great reader, and I did say I would. So maybe I need to put this away, find George, and say sorry. I've been really impressed, actually, that he's been on my case all day. We said we were going to read the Psalms together, and I'm very impressed that George hasn't forgotten. In fact, he reminds me a lot of King David, who wrote a lot of the Psalms. King David just loved spending time with God. He couldn't wait to get into his presence, whether it was singing songs, or going to the temple, or just worshipping, or going up on the hilltops. George reminds me a lot of him. And it's good to want to spend time with God. Now, sometimes we are busy and we've got lots of things we need to do. And sometimes we do want to play or do some other things too. But it's really good to set aside some time every day to spend with God. Now, I don't know how you've been doing with the reading a psalm every day challenge. Maybe you're a bit more like me than you are like George. But whether you're really old or really young, whether you've been a Christian for ages or 5 minutes, or even if you're not quite there yet, we'd love to invite you to be part of the challenge in spending some time with God in the Psalms every day. I'm going to find George and read one with him now, and we're going to be learning together about our great big God. Because the exciting thing about spending time with God like David, like George, is we find out that God wants to spend time with us. In fact, the song we're going to sing says, He knows us and He's loved us since before the world began. And it's wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Because our God is a great big God.
How did He do that? I knew He was real. He must be.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and we won my wildest dreams. And He's known me, and He's loved me, since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands.
Our God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and we won by wildest dreams. And He's known me, and He loves me, since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands. And He holds us in His hands.
One that you'll be very familiar with, right, straight from the Psalms.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the
Okay, so one of the thoughts, being in the middle of this psalm fest, we thought it'd be really good to use the psalm as an aid in our worship. And something which, in fact, has been happening for centuries, right from the outset. The people of God, over thousands of years, have used the psalms. And so we thought it'd be good for us to do that. And let's not just do a responsive psalm, or a liturgical aspect of our worship, but let's declare these words, firstly to our own hearts and spirits, but also out to the Lord in praise and in worship, recognizing what God's done, but also out to the heavenly realms and all that would seem to sometimes overpower us. Let's just declare who God is and stand firm in those things. And we're going to use Psalm 145, which many of you will know, and we've split it between, as you can see, the leader and all. I take on the leader bit, just for this, okay? And you are the all. Is that all right? Don't say the numbers. I should have taken the numbers out, but they're the verse numbers. So don't start, two, I will praise. Okay? You know that anyway. But if you're at home, I want you to join in with this as well. Let's all exalt God together. So let's say this. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever.
I will praise you every day.
Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness.
Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts.
Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness.
Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness.
They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom, and they will give examples of your power.
They will tell about your mighty deeds
and about the majesty and glory of your reign.
For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
You'll rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does.
The Lord helps the fallen.
And lets those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And we're going to continue to let our souls sing as we sing "It Is Well With My Soul." Bless you. Thanks.
Well, it is well with my soul. It is well.
Great song that is. Okay, well, we've already noted it as we've gone through so far. Last Sunday we began a new series for a couple of months. But it isn't just any preaching series. Oh, no. You know, when the rest of the world can't go to a festival, EBC leads the way. Woohoo! Yeah, because you can hear. We can have a festival. And we're having a psalm fest, if you haven't picked that up already. And it's that celebration of the richness and the splendor of the psalms as they reflect the life and, of course, focus and celebrate God and all that he's done for everyone. And, of course, both the writer, because that's what was inspiring them to write, and us as readers, as I said, thousands of years can still engage with God. We see who he is. We see so much of all that he's done. And of course continues to do. And it builds that trust in him. And it's something, in fact, that we've just done with Psalm 145. It builds the spirit, doesn't it? It helps us to engage more. And so as we go through these psalms, we want to learn. We want to allow God to touch us. They're loaded with hidden treasure, and it will encourage us, it will teach us, it will enrich our relationships with God. So welcome to the festival 2. This is number 2. Okay, you see, you didn't just have one festival last week, you've got another one, and you've got another one on next Sunday. Whoa, I tell you, no expense spared here. But I also put out a couple of challenges, if you remember last week, to go through, and of course George and Richard picked up on one, and that is to read a psalm a day if you can, or even a section of one, especially if it's something like 119 or something. You might not want to read all of that in one go, but the other challenge was also about creating and writing your own psalm, and I want to remind you of that which I hope you will share in. And if you are then willing, with everyone else towards the end of the series, we can share it together, perhaps as part of our time together here on a Sunday. Not sure that will be streamed. We might do that after we've streamed. But one way or another, it'll be an opportunity. Now, I know some of you already done something because I've had one or two emails about things. So I know one or two of you have already started to pen something. So well done. Keep up that. But if you haven't had the information about it, which came in a sort of a letter and a picture with all the details, then just drop a message in the comments or ask us and we'll make sure it's sent out to you. But today, the psalm we're going to look at covers many of the different aspects, if you remember, we spoke about in our introduction last week. And using that diamond analogy, which I introduced last week, this diamond of a psalm sends out shafts of a bright, piercing light, as it were, as the Spirit of God catches each facet of the psalm and it shines into our hearts. It can be an exposing light, but it's also a comforting light. And I believe in this instance, it sheds light upon what a living relationship with God could really be and even can be like if we enter into it. So it contains challenges and it contains encouragements all in one. So let's read it together. It's Psalm 16. Okay. So keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak their names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Isn't it a wonderful psalm? I think all of them are. But I've just grown to love this one over the years. I think it stirs something up about going deeper with God for me. But by way of introduction, David seems to almost step back in this psalm. And I don't know when it was written, whether it was in his early days as a shepherd or whether it was later as a king. But actually, it doesn't matter. But I think what he did, he just looked around and counted his blessings. And we all know that wonderful song, don't we? Count your blessings, count them one by one. And I think that's what David was doing. He takes stock of what he's got and what he's been given and what he's experienced. And he reflects on it all before God, who is so precious and dear to him. And his relationship with his God is exposed, in one sense, for everyone to see. And he just assesses his life. And he realizes and he recognizes afresh the joy and the pleasure he feels of being with his God. Yeah? Is that where you are? Every day? Perhaps not. But he just recognizes it and he loves it. And as he does, and just changing the analogy from diamonds more to sort of stakes and tents, David was almost driving stakes into the ground of his life by reminding his spirit about what God is, who God is, and what God has done for him. It holds him. And, you know, these things become pivots then around which he lives. He then builds his life around these stakes. And then his life functions as a result. And these are some of the pivotal stakes that I've identified just in this psalm alone. That God is his safety and his security. That God is his source and provision for anything. And that being in relationship with God's community, God's people, is his support and his encouragement. His heroes. I love that phrase, which the New Living Translation put it. God's people, so important. That obedience to God's ways is his pathway for life. He's learnt that only being obedient can keep him and steer him away, in fact, from false gods and lies and going astray. Obedience to God. And that God himself is his inheritance and security for the future. And that God has blessed him, so blessed him, constantly and so richly. God keeps pouring out his blessings. And that God is the focus, therefore, of his praise and his worship as a response and as a result. And that God's promise of eternity keeps him going in the difficulties of the world and the things he faces. And that God will lead him and will show him the way to true life. And then undergirding it all. And he says it quite early on in verse 2. That God is his master. Wow. Master. In other words, he's his everything. He's his absolute everything. Now I find that quite a challenge. Just those things. You know, is God that for me? Is he all those things? Do we see our relationship with God as pivotal as that? Just with our very breath which we take in the existence we live. You know, or perhaps as you look at some of those, which I've tried to sort of visualize as stakes in the ground, are some of them missing? Are some of your guy ropes for your life just swinging aimlessly? They're not holding you down. They're not giving you that security, which I think God wants for us. Now, of course, David very clearly hasn't covered all of the things which are the pivots and those stakes in his life. And in fact, if you read his life, things about his life, as well as the other Psalms, you'll see some of these other things coming up. But as we read these things, as the new covenant people of God, and we're in a very different place to where David was, I think it adds a whole new layer. It adds even more stakes into the ground because it's about the foundation and the stability of Christ in us. So if David was secure, we're even more secure because Christ lives in us by the Spirit. So we are definitely more included. We're much more richly blessed than David was. Is that not true? Well, I think so. David would have longed to have been in the place where we are. Not have to go through all the sacrifices and the rituals. He would have loved it. Yeah, he was free. Yes, he'd met with God. And in fact, it's those sort of things I just want to expand on just a bit. If you like, the mainstays within this psalm which David picks out. And the first one is the depth and the breadth and the foundation that David's relationship with God played in his life. Absolutely. And it runs all the way through this psalm, as I said, it also runs through his life. And if you read 1 and 2 Samuel and some of these other psalms, you could almost go so far as to say that David was nothing and completely nobody, a complete nobody, if it had not been for and were not for his relationship with God. Can we say that about you and me? Can we? That actually, if we took God out of our lives, what would we have? Who would we be? I find that a deeply searching question. Because we live in a world which says you're going to be something else. You can do these other things. But David had learned right from his childhood the reality of God in his life. And as that mere shepherd boy, sitting out in the fields with his lyre, caring for and protecting his flocks, his father's flocks, he was just looking around at creation. And it just fed his relationship with God. He could see God everywhere. And it just prompted him to worship. He prayed. And he probably recited God's law too, because that's what the Jewish community did. They recited it. They repeated it. They reminded themselves of what God had done. And this simple childlike faith became deeply embedded and very natural to him. And it was clear that from that place, God then implanted, grew within him, God's own character. All the way through his lifetime. So that the scripture actually records him as becoming a man after God's own heart. Whoa. Fancy having God say that about you. A man after my own heart. Phew. A life of humility, of wisdom, of doing the right thing, of keeping the law, of doing right by others. Yes, he failed. He wasn't perfect. But right through, his love for God was the mainstay. The pivot. It kept him going in everything. God was his everything. And you can tell from reading some of the other Psalms, when he was really going through it and his enemies were on his case big time, God was always there for him. Always. He never turned to man to rescue him, but always to God. And God never let him down. You know, it seemed obvious to those around him too of how important God was. That God was his all because he gained everyone's respect and honor. And people were drawn to him. But I believe that was God in him, not the man himself. Because when God is so much that, it changes who you are. It changes your whole character and your outlook on life. So where does God sit for you today and for me? Is he our all? Truly our all? Is he our everything? Do you trust him implicitly about every little detail? If you like, are you like a stick of rock that God's got God's life running right through your core? I don't want to do this, but if we cut your head off or we cut you in the middle, you know, what would we see written, as it were? Is God right there? And second thing is the closeness and the benefits and blessings of being in God. That's what comes out of this psalm for me. And there's another stake in David's life. You know, the more he grew to know God, the more he realized how privileged he was. And that's true, isn't it? You're on this journey with God. And the more you get to know God, the more you think, wow, this is amazing. And it takes you so much deeper. And your heart just starts to sing even more. And you get more and more convinced. And it's such a pivot. It's so important. And instead of growing proud, and of course when God gave him a position, a power as king, you know, the humility that God had put within him as he'd worshipped, as he'd allowed God into that very core, stirred him to acknowledge who God was in increasing measure and give him the glory. Because it was God at work within him. So he couldn't take any of the glory. So he just knew. So God could trust him implicitly. Because he knew that it would not get screwed up or changed along the way. And that in turn just instilled greater faith and trust for David. And he just sought to put God central. And the Lord continued just to pour out his blessing and go ahead of him mightily. Just as verse 2 says here, I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. Could you say that? Can you look yourself in the mirror and say, every good thing comes from God? Or are you thinking, actually, there's a bit of my mum and dad in there. Yeah, it's pretty good. And also, you know, there's, you know, I've achieved quite a lot in my life. I'm doing pretty well. You know, hey, how much is God at the core of who we are? God was absolutely pivotal for him. Is he for us? And it was God in him that gave him the victory in the battles which he faced. And again, that young shepherd. You remember he told Saul just before he went out to fight Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, that famous passage of how God was with him. And he says, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. In other words, there was nothing within David's life and his relationship with God which was going to restrict God's victory within him. Nothing at all. Because God had proven it, and David had proven it, that God was going to be there. He taught him the skills to face the battles and to overcome his enemies. And I just wonder, do we learn those same experiences? Do we learn these same lessons for our lives? And do we put them into practice? Do we apply them? And even as he became king and famous for his victories, even over Saul, you remember, you know, it was God who received the glory. Every time there was a victory, or every time God did something, David gave it all to God. And because he invited God to go ahead of him, and because he was with him in the battle, he never went out on his own. He always asked God, should I go? Should I go? And God said, yes. And even gave him a strategy, I believe, on how to tackle it. It was God who directed his paths and all his decisions. So being in God and God being in him and in us was crucial. It's crucial for David and it's crucial for us. And then I think there's another dimension here. Thinking about this whole battle and the fight which we're in, of course, on a spiritual level. It was David's relationship which saw him through. You know, the enemy wants to make us and keep us captives, doesn't he? He wants to tie us down. He wants to bind us up. And he wants to steal. He's a thief. And he wants to steal life from us. Because that's what God's given us. And the enemy wants to take that away. And ultimately, that captivity, of course, is death. I.e. death without God. Without that relationship. Or Sheol. Or the grave, as it's called several times within the Psalms. Yet, as described in verse 10 here, there is hope in the promise of eternity and immortality. In other words, David hooked onto this fact that he says it's not just about this planet and my life here. It goes beyond. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Now, of course, as we look at the Psalms now in the light of Christ, we know that this is a prophetic messianic statement about who Christ was and about his resurrection and the foretelling of God bringing eternity and immortality to those who believe and trust him. But David trusted in this promise because he knew, he caught God's heart, and he knew that life was much more than just this, these days on this planet. It was longer into eternity. And it dominated everything he did. He knew that God would go ahead of him and fight the battles for him. For us, of course, we know because of Christ in us. And this is the extra dimension which we talked about. For us, we know we've got the victory because of the cross. Do we stand in it? Are we as convinced as David was? And then lastly, there's just this profound question which comes out of verse 5 for David about God being his inheritance. God is inheritance. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. And the question is he ours? Is he that cup of blessing for us? What is our cup full of? Do we want to fill it with all the other things? The world would say all sorts of things. You know, in investment things and about our inheritance, you know, particularly if you're a parent and you've got kids, you know, you're thinking about inheritance. Well, I tell you, some of us are what we call skiers. You know, we ski. We spend our kids' inheritance. You've heard of that one, haven't you? No, perhaps not. Okay, I'll move on quickly. But joking aside, you know, we put all our efforts into living in this world. Yes, we do still live in this world. And it's right that we live in this world. And we need to, therefore, keep the right balance. Because we are still in the world, but we're not of it. And so we need to ask the question about where we spend our time and where we put our investment. If we're just talking about financial investment for the earthly future, then we're going to be bitterly disappointed because we take nothing with us. And we don't leave, you know, we might leave a little bit for the next generation, but eventually they're going to go too. This world is temporal. We need to invest in eternity. And that is with God. And then he picks it up with the same sort of theme on this whole thing about boundary lines. Oh, I love this verse. It says, the land you have given me is a pleasant land. Or in the NIV, the boundary lines have fallen me in pleasant places. Now, this would have been very familiar for David, this imagery of boundary lines or stones, because it was about the change of land ownership and his property. And of course, he would have known that being a shepherd and wandering around. But David, I don't think, considered just the physical earthly lines and boundaries here. He was talking about and recognizing God's kingdom and God's boundary lines. And he saw the immense blessings which in his life God had put. He knew, he could see where he was. Yes, it was full of difficulties and struggles, but he still saw God's blessing in the midst of it. And that stirred him up, that spurred him on to keep going. And that's our inheritance too, is it not? In Christ. Yes, eternity. Yes, it's all about that. And of course, that whole thing about just trusting that God is there with us and takes us even beyond the grave. Another phrase, of course, which came very close and was referring to Christ. Now, we whinge and we moan a bit, I think, as God's people, and particularly as Brits. We do tend to whinge a bit, and we tend to think, we don't always see things from other perspectives. We just think about ourselves, and if only. And, you know, we have so much. We have so much. And if we took an honest look at our boundary lines, they truly have fallen in pleasant places. I'm not denying the issues and the difficulties and the struggles, but in comparison, even for earth, this life on earth, in comparison. Have you ever heard the phrase BMBs? These are believers from a Muslim background. You know, they walk a very difficult, sometimes dangerous line. Those who follow Christ within the Muslim culture, they find Christ and then they live it. Do you know their lives are at threat for following God? Their families are. And in some cases, they get even murdered just for the sake of knowing Christ. Now, we haven't walked here or driven here this morning with any opposition whatsoever, have you? So our boundary lines really have fallen in blessed places. We don't know we're born sometimes. So Psalm 16. Wow, we've skimped the surface. You probably think, blimey, Mark, is that just a skimp? I don't know. But I tell you, it's loaded. There's plenty of gems there for us to take away. And there's lots to thank God for. So let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you. Thank you so much for this psalm alone. but for all of the Psalms. And we thank you for your servant David, whom you inspired to write it. Lord, how can we ever thank you enough for reaching out to us and rescuing us and drawing us into that relationship with you? Lord, thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for our salvation, for our inheritance in Christ. Lord, whatever it is we face, help us to look to you and to trust you as David did. And then using the words of verse 11, will you show me, show us the way of life? Grant us, Lord, the joy of your presence and remind us and renew within us of the pleasures of living with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're going to sing our final song.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 For he Jesus reigns on high in all the earth.
Join in on that one. Okay. God may well have said something, and I just want to encourage you to pray it through, spend time with him. Let's do that work. Let's get into that deeper, closer relationship with him. So, so important. I'm going to encourage you to stand if you're able now, and we're going to say and share the words of the grace together. And you can do that at home, of course, as well. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.